Brain Dead Radio presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 14. And this is Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
14 is certainly a special age, currently in our awkward teenage years, would it not be?
That's right, yeah.
Yes, as my father would say, there is now fur where there has not been fur before.
And our episode is having trouble talking to girls.
Yes, a lot, and furiously masturbating like you wouldn't believe. Absolutely. But how you been, man?
Doing great, except for not holding up well in the Los Angeles heat.
That's right, because the heat is in fact on, because summer has officially shown up in the third week of July.
Yeah.
Yes. For the past month or so, it's been actually quite cool, almost Seattle-esque. Yep. And while the rest of the country was frying their nuts off, Los Angeles was having a break. Not anymore, because... the season has come back with a very cruel vengeance. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it's 5,000 degrees outside right now.
And yeah.
I almost died getting over
here. Yeah, you can't think straight in the heat, I can assure you on that. That's why you always have bad shit going on during the heat wave. You know, riots. You know, if you ever watch Do the Right Thing, you know that what had happened would not have occurred if it was negative 30 outside.
That's right, yeah.
You can't get angry when it's negative 30 outside.
Well, you can't go outside. You're pretty much snowed in.
Right. I mean, there have, in history, the occasional winter riot, but it's tough to pull off as opposed to in the middle of the summer.
You know the worst part, personally, with this heat wave is that in my apartment, it's like an igloo.
Right.
I have the air conditioner on all the time, or a fan going or something, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, circulating the coolness. Plus, it's also made of ice.
Yes. Are you saying you live in... The lair of the penguin from Batman Returns, or the former frozen food factory of Batman and Robin?
I'd say just like the factory in Batman and Robin, Mr. Freeze lived in.
Complete with polar bear slippers and all that?
That's right, and the blue furry robe.
Oh, jeez.
I try to keep it cool in there because it's fucking hot as hell outside.
Yeah.
And it gets about 10, 20 degrees hotter in my place than it does outside.
Right.
Assuming, I think the outside is made of tinfoil.
Yeah, so especially like, at night, I bet, right?
I don't even know. I circulate the fan air conditioner so often in the summer,
right.
It doesn't matter. But
yeah.
When you go outside, it's like you try to keep it a decent temperature in there, like 70 degrees or so, and then you go outside, and then it's 100 times worse. It's like you just burst into flames.
Yeah, and could you imagine any poor bastard like lives in the desert right now? And some people enjoy this sort of thing. It's quite shocking. Now, thankfully, we haven't really deal with humidity, because then we would have completely been in a full-blown Southern Gothic novel or movie or something.
Yeah.
Complete with fat Southern Sheriff. In fact, I think you're dabbing your forehead as we speak, aren't
you? Yeah, that's right. Yes, I am, because I'm sweating right now.
I can't even imagine being a fat guy in this
weather. I'm actually, for the audience, I'm sweating for the both of us right now.
Oh, he is, actually. I would certainly agree. And what's crazy is that about this weather is that I used to work in this type of heat, actually. I used to work when I was basically a janitor for the city at swimming pools. I would work in this weather all day. I mean, I had a hat. I wear sunglasses. People would make fun of me for wearing a hat. But it worked.
Yeah, so, it'll keep your brain from frying, man.
Well, yeah, I would have been fired a long time, you know, a lot longer. Well, much short, something to that
It
effect.
Wasn't like a wicker hat, was it? Because it could catch fire and kill you.
See, it was a hat made out of wicker. It was
green
wicker.
How did you keep it from bursting into flames?
Because it was treated.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I used to work in that kind of weather. I still don't know how I did it, but I did it somehow. And I don't like to look on those days too fondly. But I know other than that, it's been a hell of a week. The World Cup wrapped up. That was some match. I know you didn't watch it. I had the pleasure of watching it in a very overheated, crowded bar with no AC, and I was unable to get a drink. I don't know how I did it, but I could tell you when that Spain had won versus the Netherlands, we were all proud for the fact someone had won. We didn't give a shit at that point. It was too much.
Yeah, and of course, the Netherlands.
Don't say that. Paul Verhoeven could be listening to this very show and hunt you down.
Yeah.
But it was one thing that was really funny was that this was one guy from Ireland just kept rooting for Ireland. And He was very inebriated. There's also a couple of tough British-looking guys, one with sideburns and kind of looked like Biff Tannen.
Oh, shit.
And one guy was like, you're sitting in my... Because he was using the pool table as a place to sit down, and I was covering for another guy.
He was
like,
sitting on the pool table?
Yeah, it was that crowded. And we were like, he was like, oh, you're sitting in my friend's seat. Oh, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm kidding with you. He's like, oh, I was a little nervous there. So after I was somehow able to see the entire match, I made it to a Del Taco, and I felt great. I also wished a very good friend of mine, who, oddly enough, I'm giving a personal shout-out to, and he listens to the show, all the way out in Madrid. Good friend of mine, I'm sure he'll enjoy that shout-out. I won't say who he works for, just because I don't want to risk it.
Wait, you're not going to say his name?
Oh, I believe it's Sergio, but he always signs his stuff as S-Po, which is always cool. We end up talking about some stuff. It was really cool just because, speaking about Spain winning, was that it's something that's been brought to my attention before with other people in Europe, is that, you know, we have this thing in America. We have 4th of July, we have patriotism. No one calls us out on it. Everyone's unified. Face it, unless you're Native American, you have no ownership or claims about this country. Everyone's just pretty much united on that.
Or you're just a hipster douchebag.
Yeah, but you're enjoying you're enjoying your freedoms, ironically, I guess. And I'm going to get into that shortly, speaking of that. But in places like Spain, for example, where, I don't know if you knew this, the country is not very unified. There's a couple of very known areas that are almost want to be their own countries. There's the Basque region, and then there's Catalonia.
Yeah, there are several countries like that. Yeah
same thing. Even, a lot of Italy is kind of like this, because it was unified from a lot of separate city-states.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is like, even that's where the dialects come in, and the language is trouble.
Did you say the dialects?
Dialects.
Oh, sorry.
Not the Pepper Pots.
I thought you tried
Doctor
to
Who.
Throw in a Doctor Who reference.
No.
Okay,
no.
Continue. I apologize.
So you have the people aren't really unified. They believe in where they are. It's also because, especially for Spain, they had a civil war about 70 years ago, compounded with a very fascist dictatorship that lasted about a good 40 years. So the fact to have a unifying event like this is amazing for a country like that. And as my good friend Sergio was telling me, it's quite surprising. And even then, even though you had basically for the Spanish national team to win for the first time ever, still there were some beatings and uprisings and whatnot. And it's something that, you know, in this country we definitely have the luck of not having. I mean, we haven't, you know, except for maybe the South, there's no area of the country that really wants to separate. So, yeah. Or try, but we kicked their ass and then we made them, you know, show them who's boss.
That's
despite,
right.
Despite with some rural folk to say to the difference, to the contrary. But it's really, interesting to hear something like that. It really puts perspective on, how the rest of the world works. And,
right.
You know, something like that. For
and
that.
Why the Netherlands blows.
Well, once again, Paul Verhoeven is going to hunt you down and kill you if you talk like that. He's not going to stand for that kind of behavior.
I just realized I don't know anything about the Netherlands. What's going on over there?
Well,
what's happening? What's their team? Did they have a real team? Or is
yeah,
it just like
it's
guys?
A real team. They have a unified color. They're orange. That's because the royal color is orange. And that game was just nuts. I mean, it was a long, hard slog, and part of it was just, and it was really violent too. You may have seen this on the internet, but one of the Dutch players jump kicked the Spanish player right into the middle of the chest,
holy
square
shit.
Right on the stern. When we had seen that at the bar, we were absolutely horrified.
Wait, karate? Doing karate on another person—that's a foul, right?
It was certainly a foul. A lot of people were fouling it up, fouling like no one's business. Yellow cards were flying. Someone got a red card, which means your ass is out. It was ridiculous. It was basically, as I had said after watching the game, it was like World War I, because there was a lot of attrition, a lot of nothing happening, two evenly matched teams, and then someone making a move very late in the game.
And fighter planes.
No fighter planes, actually, in this one, but okay. And no spiked helmets. But
okay. Not exactly like World War I.
But I had to bring up a war analogy somehow. I mean, had Germany shown up, we could have worked with something there, but there wasn't anything. And you had to deal with what you got. But like I said, my friend Sergio can definitely attest to this. You know, they were just, it was madness in the streets, just absolutely partying. And we've never really, we don't have something like that in the States, but at the same time, we don't have that. As people talk about this country's divided and all that, there's nowhere near the divisions.
Whenever the Lakers win, there's a huge riot over there.
There are
so.
Always riots associated with a sport.
Everything incites a riot in L.A.
Yeah, except when a team loses. But we haven't dealt with a riot, a serious riot in 18 years, actually. But like I said, it was crazy just to see that win. And the guy who scored the goal is a national hero on top of the psychic octopus, which I imagine he will taste delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you've heard about Paul the Octopus.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, they called him...
He's a magical bastard.
They called him psychic, but my inner geek was thinking it was more precognitive, but...
You son of a bitch.
Yeah. So...
Yes, I'm sure he'll taste great when he's deep fried with lemon. But other than that, this week, I had the, you know, just dealing with work and whatnot. I also mentioned I checked out the anime convention last week. That was, surprise, surprise, I did not have a very good time at that.
Well,
what a shock.
Yes, I understand. You're not the biggest anime fan.
I know. And there are some pieces of anime I really enjoyed. You definitely would have heard about it in the last episode we had.
That's right. There was an hour and a half's worth of anime talk in the last
episode. Yes, yes. Most of it was me just shitting all over the genre.
Yeah,
yes.
It was you hating anime and then now going to an anime convention.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty much...
Is it true that you went to the convention with a big I hate anime flag? And
no, but I did. I had the V-neck of wisdom on, and I went in there, tried to go in with an open mind, and, you know, I was like, okay, maybe I'll see something cool, maybe there'll be some new stuff, maybe there'll be some really good things out there to look at, but maybe I'll buy something cool or something cute, I don't know, or I'll see some good cosplay. Now, I will say this about the cosplay. That was some impressive shit. I will no doubt about say... There were some really damn good costumes out there. I was really impressed. A dude showed up as Colonel Sanders.
Lots of physics-defying hair, right?
There was a booth that sold wigs. And I did not buy a wig, but it was very interesting look at them, I will say. No, I didn't buy a wig because I have a melon head. My head wouldn't fit in a wig. But other than that, I mean, I saw the convention floor. There was just nothing appealing, and I hate to say that. I mean, to me, and this is the one thing that kind of bugs me about anime, is that there didn't seem to be, and I know people that are really into it would know better than I would, obviously, there didn't seem to be any real new stuff. It just seemed to be like a rehash of everything else that was out there. There was a lot of Cowboy Bebop stuff and other stuff I hadn't recognized, a lot of Dragon Ball stuff and all that other nonsense. And like the merchandise wasn't that good, and there was some like really, really nerdy stuff that out-nerds anything we have done.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Cosplaying was cool. I didn't feel like getting a lot of pictures just because it was like, it really wasn't grabbing me. And, I mean, I didn't really pay it. I just didn't go in there with a plan.
Were you, depressed or on any kind of medication when you went to the anime convention?
No. I tried to go in with an open mind, but I was a little bit bummed that I was bored in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, you would say yourself, like I say, I'm not a big fan of anime, so what do I expect? Am I going to be converted? I mean, I think other issue is the fact when you go by yourself and you don't have, if you're not really vested into it, you're not going to enjoy yourself. Because I covered the entire convention center in probably 40 minutes. And I went around, I looked at stuff, I went up and down the halls, I looked at the costumes, I mean, which were cool. I went to the art side of the convention center. I was like, okay, maybe I'll see some good art. I hate to say this, but it's like a lot of the stuff was not original. There was a lot of like fan pieces. There was this one booth, and I wish I could have gotten a picture of this. And unfortunately, I could not because a lot of the artists, I remember this when I went to the Doctor Who convention. There was some really good art stuff. I really want to take pictures, but people were telling me, you can't take pictures of it without artist permission. Like, all right, fine. So I assume that's the case. There was one thing, and I'm like, you've heard of slash fiction, right? Unfortunately, you have.
Yes.
So there was this one booth.
Should we explain slash fiction to anyone who doesn't know what it is?
I'm pretty sure.
Everyone listening knows what slash fiction is.
The audience that listens to the show damn well knows what slash fiction is. So there was this one booth that consisted of a lot of homoerotic, definitely fan images of various anime characters, and I wish I could have gotten a picture.
There's like pictures of Cthulhu raping Santa
Hentai. That's hentai. This is just, like I said, a lot of homoeroticism of male anime characters, and I bet some people in the audience are saying, Ed, why don't you buy a picture? It's like, come on now, I'm not spending $12 on one picture when I could go to online and get that stuff for free.
I thought you were going to say I have limits or dignity, but you're saying that as long as I can get it for free, it doesn't matter.
That's part of it, yes. No, I'm kidding, of course. I didn't actually... It was also because I had limits. But I was a little, bummed, as I said, just the fact I thought maybe I'd see some new stuff. Because, you know what's also coming up, this month is a Comic-Con. And
that's right.
I mean, I haven't been to Comic-Con in over 6 years, and I just haven't had the drive to go just because I really haven't been interested in comics all that much. But to me, at least you're going to see,
you have a history with comics, though.
That's true, but also
more
the panels are going to be good.
More so than with anime, so you'll probably enjoy it a little
bit. I think the other thing is, and as I hate to say it, is like the anime crowd is not all that welcoming, in my view. Just to people that are not really into this sort of thing. To me, there's a certain bit of an attitude.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I was just thinking, like, I mean, if you're not into it and you show up at a place that you're not really into what's going on, you know, not a lot of people are going to be all that excited about people who aren't into it being there. If I was at a comic convention and somebody was like, hey, man, I came by, but I'm not really into this. It's like, what are you going to say? Like,
yeah, right.
Oh, awesome, man. Let's go hang out and
Other thing was like, well, I'm indifferent about it. I'm going to give it a shot. I figure as they say in Risky Business, you got to say what the fuck. Yeah. So, unfortunately, Curtis Armstrong was not anywhere around to help me out on this. But I wanted to give it a shot. I just thought, and then also some members of the boards were saying, well, you'll get to see some good eye candy. And that is true. But you can only go so far on a good hot piece of ass.
And you didn't get laid, so...
That's true,
that's
actually.
That's probably why you're most angry and bitter.
Yeah, I'm very, very embittered about that. Very embittered. But yeah, Comic-Con's coming up, so...
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to be better than the clusterfuck that it was last year, just because of how overcrowded it was?
It's funny, I don't... Personally, I've never been to Comic-Con, mm-hmm. but I've known people that have gone, and last year I'd heard that it was a nightmare because of the whole Twilight crowd getting involved in the Comic-Con thing. Like, they were really monopolizing a lot of areas.
Yeah.
You know, basically being, you know, the general dipshittery that goes on with the Twilight fans.
Right. Well, here's the thing. You say that because I know a lot of people also talk about, like, there were, I mean, you don't have the foaming mouth breathing hate that some people have against the Twilight people. I'm not defending them, but it's also kind of the fandom that some people get the idea with comics. Now, obviously...
It's probably the same. I mean,
Other thing I would point out, I think, with last year is that the media really monopolized the hell out of things. Is really where Hollywood co-opted that convention.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that was more of it than so much the Twilight thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I had heard that, like, what happened was that every panel was taken up by Twilight fans.
Yeah.
And then trying to get into other panels was a nightmare.
Yeah, you would have to...
Based on the fact that it was overcrowded with people waiting for Twilight stuff.
Not for Twilight, but
there's like armies of people, you know, that are obsessed with this stuff. Here's the thing, like, you get the general comic book nerd crowd, and it's a lot of, you know, the stereotype is a lot of fat, nerdy guys. Fat, nerdy virgins is what I'm saying. Now, I'm a comic fan and everything.
You, sir, are no virgin.
Nor fat. But I lost 25 pounds recently.
Good for you.
What the hell was I talking about?
You're talking about the stereotype of the nerd.
The stereotype of the nerd being the fat, sweaty virgin is, you know, by no means universal. It doesn't mean that that's what everyone is. That's just the type.
Yeah.
And so, consequently, you've got a lot of guys. You get chicks at anime conventions and stuff, especially nowadays, but, you know, it's a bunch of dudes. And then sometimes dudes really don't get into, like, going to this stuff, so they're just like, meh, whatever, I'll wait, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
So you get the real obsessive crowd and stuff that really shows up, but it's not as huge as the rabid fangirl crowd for Twilight, because every woman and, like, old women, young women, babies, kids... Every type of female who's obsessed with Twilight showed up for this thing.
Yes.
And there's nothing holding them back. Nothing. Right. Nerds, sweaty, fat virgins, they get tired easy.
And they were threatened.
They
by
get
this.
Distracted, you know, and it's just, they have ADD and all this shit. It's just lots of things get in the way of doing this thing. Nothing stops rabid fangirls. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. So Twilight, you're dealing with armies.
You ever been in a room with, like, 12-year-old screaming girls? You'll go deaf.
No, I haven't. But I was at Panda Express the other day, and there was a table full of young girls, like probably junior high age or something like that. And it was deafening.
Yes.
It was deafening. Marissa and I almost left.
It was banshee-like.
They took off before we started eating, so thank God we didn't have to pull it there.
Otherwise, you would have pulled a falling down right then and there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that was only about six girls, and it was repulsive. So imagine, multiply that by, you know, the thousands for Twilight. So I think that's why they didn't know what they were getting into with Comic-Con. Right.
I still think that they should probably move Comic... I mean, I know it's tradition for them to have in San Diego, but...
Into space, I agree.
Into space, yes. Yeah. Or into the center of the Earth. But they should really. I do believe that it should be moved. But whether or not they actually pull it off, I don't know. It's a really. They need to get it where in capacity. I know they talked about even having it in Vegas. I'm not so sure about that.
That'd be awesome.
It's gonna be hot as hell in Vegas.
Yeah,
so.
But you just put it in. They can put it in a convention center.
They do.
And everything's like indoors anyway.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Although the only thing is, like, in Vegas, it's like, okay, I can gamble, but there's nothing else to do in San Diego.
There's tons of shit to do in Vegas, man.
I was in Vegas last year. I didn't know. I'm so
angry about that because I heard you blast Vegas on one of your previous
episodes.
Fucking
right, I did.
And there's tons of shit to do there. You just gotta find stuff to do, man.
I suppose. I think I was with the wrong... I mean, I'm not much of a gambler. I think that's part of it. And the other thing was, like, it was so hot, I couldn't even drink.
Yeah, but you don't go out during the day, dude. You sleep during the day, and you party all night.
I guess. As I say...
You did it wrong. You did it the reverse thing.
I know.
You can't go out during the day. If you go out during the day, you can do some family stuff that's pretty fun. Like, yeah. I went to the zoo there with Marissa. There's this,
they
crazy...
They have a zoo there?
There's a Siegfried and Roy zoo. You pay, like,
okay.
$30
bucks. They had an outdoor zoo. There's like surprising animals didn't burst
into
flames.
Like a $30... It's like a $30 admission for the zoo, but, like, there's, like, live dolphin... Like, it's not a show. It's not a stupid show. You get to go up to the tanks, and they, like... I got hit by a beach ball by a dolphin.
Nice work.
Yeah, the thing hated me, but it's because I wasn't paying attention. They're very egocentric.
Yes.
But there's
just like mankind.
There's like lions and shit, and they're behind like a chain link fence.
Right.
It's insane. Like, you get to see all this cool stuff. That's the stuff during the day. It's like pretty tame.
But at night, I've been to Vegas. It's just tough getting trashed in that kind of heat. It's just like.
It's not
any cooler at night.
At night. It's a little bit.
I can assure you. I remember I was there with a friend of mine, and we had walked. We were gonna check out some like club off the strip. Now it's crazy that off the strip, it's darkness and it's over 100 degrees at night. I don't know how I pulled it off, but it's weird to be walking around in the darkness on your front.
Were you sober?
Sadly, I was.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, I know.
You're doing it wrong.
Constantly fucking it up. But I know, speaking of Comic-Con, they just profiled something that just hit the stands this week, the Green Lantern movie.
Ryan
Reynolds profile is the Green Lantern. Me, I've got nothing on this. I never followed the Green Lantern. Costume looks fine.
I'm really fucking excited about the Green Lantern because it has the potential to be a really awesome movie. And
what do you think of Ryan Reynolds as Green? To me, he traded up from trying to be Deadpool.
Well, he's still going to be Deadpool.
Oh, you think he's going to play Deadpool?
No, I think that there's still, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know this for sure, but I could have sworn he was still playing Deadpool.
Well, I hadn't heard about that.
Green Lantern's still better. But I thought the suit looked fine. I mean, you got a bunch of fanboy people bitching about the way it looks because he's not wearing white gloves or whatever bullshit is the problem. Which, by the way, come on, nerds. Like, I'm a geek too, but like, come on, you got to surrender every once in a while and go like, look, white gloves look retarded.
Well,
man.
Not only that, at this stage of the game, complaining about this sort of stuff is incredibly old hat. I mean, this is now going on 10 years of constant complaining.
Well, plus, like, it's never, you know, when they do the straight up
adaptations
of the suit, when they try to stay too true to it.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, so faithful it hurts.
Right.
It's never worked in a way that's really satisfied everyone.
Yes.
It's always been a disaster. I think the only exception being Spider-Man, and they still made so many alterations to that suit to try to make it look three-dimensional and interesting that it worked better than if he had just been wearing that 70s looking
suit.
And
speaking of that, what do you think of the new casting for Spider-Man?
I think, what's his name?
Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield is really good. He's a really, really good actor.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that. I remember talking about, on this other podcast I do called Movie Moan, we were talking about possible who was going to be playing Peter Parker now. At the time, they said he was going to be in high school. I was like, oh, God, they're going to go back to the well.
I wanted them to go back to high school. They never deal with the high school shit. He never was in high school fighting villains or anything. They've never done it in the cards.
Because he's always a college student.
No, dude, he's not always a college student. Like, he's in the original run on Spider-Man back when they started, he was a high school student for many issues.
Yes.
And he dealt with all of his major villains as a high school student. So it was cool because there was all this, like, conflict of a stupid teenager having to kind of, you know, deal with all this high school bullshit, but then deal with these like major supervillains and stuff. Kind of a lot of lessons for the character. It sounds retarded when you say lessons in growing up because it's not Wonder Years, but you know, it's cool because instead of like, you know, having to do homework, he's got to go out and fight fucking crime and shit. So like, you know, it's pretty.
Now
pretty awesome.
I had heard, and this is unsubstantiated, because I mean the guy
Nicolas Cage will not be playing the Green Goblin.
Son of a bitch.
If there's a god, that will not happen.
But that the guy is our age. He's 26.
Yeah.
Now, he actually is showing up in the movie called The Social Network. I don't know if you saw the trailer. It came out this week. That was a really damn good trailer.
I haven't seen the full trailer. I just saw the teaser.
You saw the teaser and with Jesse Eisenberg and Mark Zuckerberg. I'm actually surprised. When I had heard they were going to do a movie about the story of Facebook, to me it sounds like something that should be an HBO movie, but it's like, it seems really odd that Fincher is doing this, even though it seems way too high caliber, but this could be pretty damn good. I mean, the trailer is amazing.
Yeah.
But, and this guy, Andrew Garfield, is in it. So when I had seen the people who they were thinking about casting, it was like, hey, this guy kind of looks like Peter Parker, even though he's going to be the same age as Tobey Maguire.
He's a better actor than Tobey Maguire.
How do you figure?
Well, Tobey Maguire can't really act. I mean, I don't want to bash on Tobey Maguire too much.
Hey, he ruled as role as a hitchhiker in Fear and Loathing.
Yeah, but no, he's not. He doesn't have like the greatest range of all time. He did a great job as Spider-Man and Peter Parker, but I just think like. I think the writers need to write the character with a little more depth and a little bit more, like, you know, more characterization, more personality than really, because his personality never really varied very much. It was always just confused or crying.
Are you saying that then, because I know a lot of people complained about this with the Spider-Man movies, that he wasn't the wisecracking dude.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, because I never understood that.
That's because that's how he is. I mean, he's a wise-ass superhero, and he use that to, you know, he would just berate.
And say he did a lot of pelvic thrusting. It's that, like, what
no. That's not what I meant at all. But no, he did. He just made fun of his villains and stuff, and that was kind of like one of his battle tactics, was just fucking around and being a
wise ass.
Yeah, and then on top of that, though, he had a lot of, and again, going back to the early run of like the Ditko years, which was the first, you know, when the book first came out. He was a really multi-tiered character. He had a lot going on, and this was kind of like why the book was so popular at the time, because other characters were like, I'm a superhero and I fight crime, and that's pretty much it.
Yes.
Whereas this guy was like having an existential crisis every other issue, dealing with all this shit, and kind of coming off more of like a two-dimensional, not fully developed three-dimensional, but just a multi-dimensional character who had problems and became a person that we understood, because he wasn't just this do-gooder perfect human being. It was like he has conflict, he gets angry about things, he you know, decides he's gonna stop doing what he's doing because he just is sick of it, not because of any profound reason, just because he's like, this fucking sucks, I'm gonna go do something else, I'm gonna be normal, I'm tired of this bullshit, and then something always brings him back because it's just kind of like this curse that he has, and stuff. So it's cool, and there's a lot of conflict, and the character has a lot of dimension and the ability to have a lot of dimension on screen as well. And I hope that they explore that more instead of just making him like, I'm sad, I'm happy.
See, I don't know. I mean, we'll see whether or not. I've been always kind of different about this reboot. I mean, you know, they can do what they want. I mean, also, it's going to be 3D. But
dude, whatever. It's not passion.
It's not going to kill.
3D is just a means
to an end.
It's
a stupid gimmick.
No, it's not, man.
I'm telling you, it's not.
You don't even know. Okay. Don't go here. You don't even know, man. I heard somebody else say this. I thought it was really interesting. A colleague of mine who's a filmmaker, a professional filmmaker.
Yes.
He was talking about 3D, and I really think he put it best when he said it's just a tool. It's a tool like anything else. Right. Everything used in filmmaking can be called a gimmick. And this is just another tool. Well, and just because it's not utilized properly,
that's what I probably
every,
want to
in every single film, doesn't mean that it's useless.
I'm not saying it's useless in that case, because you said it best. To me, it's just
I did not say that. That was not me. That was a quote from
someone that you're paraphrasing.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all well and good. We'll see what happens. Although they are supposedly we're going to get Batman 3 in 2 years. So we'll see how that goes.
But wait, back to Green Lantern real quick. Yes. So the costume looks pretty fucking cool. They kept his original logo, the old Silver Age Green Lantern logo, the most iconic symbol, which is really cool. And the suit looks kind of like muscly, like human muscle.
Form-fitting.
Glowing. No, like literally like human muscle, muscle tissue. And a white glow is emanating from inside of him. And there's no definition on the suit. It kind of blends into his skin, and it looks really cool. It looks like the suit kind of takes over you and turns you into like this whatever the fuck, space policeman or whatever.
Yes.
So you know, it looks
handle wood.
It doesn't look that bad. That's the old one. That's the
damn it.
That's the Golden Age Green Lantern, man.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, the new one. He's just got that yellow problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see.
Everybody comes across yellow wood.
Yeah.
Oh, he's done for.
Yeah. I thought you were making that.
No, I wasn't actually making a dick joke this time. I know that seems shocking, but I wasn't actually. But carry on.
So, yeah, I hope there's no yellow condoms involved.
Ugh.
Sinestro doesn't get a hold of those. But anyway, so I thought it looked pretty damn cool, and there's a lot of people bitching about it, but fanboys need to shut the fuck up and just let these people do their job.
Right.
It's not Daredevil, for God's sake. It's not Daredevil. We don't even have to see Ben Affleck wear red leather for 2 hours. We're not going to have to deal with that.
Right. No, I agree. Although I want to see when are they going to make a movie about Reed Fleming, the world's toughest milkman?
I would make that.
Because it's funny, speaking of comics, you know, Harvey Pekar passed away this week.
That's right. Yeah, he was what, 80?
70.
70.
He was like 70 or 70-something.
10 years off, okay.
Yeah. Did you see American Splendor? Because that movie's great.
No, I haven't seen it.
Did you ever read the book?
No.
Because I never did, but I really enjoyed that movie. Now, I will admit the guy, especially when he got older, his voice got really grating, but it was really, really good. And plus, James Urbanek, the voice of Rusty Venture himself, plays R. Crumb in American Splendor.
Oh, are you serious? I gotta see that now. I haven't
and
seen
only that,
seen
Donald Logue is in the movie.
Nice.
Playing, because there was a stage version of American Splendor. He's in it, and he just in one scene. So it's a really, really good movie. And especially at the time when I thought I would make it as a writer, I thought really this was a really great insight into the writing process. I admit I still haven't read his books. A little bit of, I suppose, a fail on my part, but... it was a really good movie, and it's, I don't know if the guy was still doing his thing, but it was a passing of an icon. I wonder if R. Crumb will actually get out of this cave and go to the funeral. I don't know.
I didn't know he was still alive.
He is still alive with a huge beard.
Shit.
He, in fact...
I'm more familiar with R. Crumb than I am with Harvey Pekar.
Because of the great movie Crumb.
No, I mean, just in general. I'm familiar with his work.
But, he actually, in fact, just recently did an illuminated version of the Bible. A comic version of the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Did you say illuminated version?
Something like that.
Illustrated?
Oh, like an illuminated manuscript. Basically illustrated.
Okay.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's hot, goddamn
it. I'm confused. It is getting gradually hotter in here.
Progressively hotter.
Yeah.
But, he just passed away. And another icon of sorts also passed away, I believe. The guy who did the voice of Speed Racer, did he not?
That's right. Peter Fernandez, if I'm getting his name correct, I say that...
I believe so.
I'm actually double-checking right now to make sure that I got...
Checking the facts as we speak.
To make sure I got his name right, because I hope I did, because I'm a huge fan.
Oh, no, you do have it correct,
okay.
Actually.
Okay. Peter Fernandez, who was the guy who not only did the voice of Speed Racer, was the producer, director, and writer of the old adaptations of the Speed Racer cartoon when it came over to the United States.
Yes. He, in fact, probably did, I think, nearly all of the voices on the show. And the only reason
he did quite a few, but then he also... The coolest part was he was Speed, and then he was Racer X, his older brother.
Yes.
And he did both voices, and if you listen carefully, you can catch it. But if you didn't know better, you'd swear it was two different guys.
Well, I had listened to an interview, actually, of the guy on NPR once a couple of years ago when the Speed Racer movie came out. And let me say about that movie... It's pretty good, I will say.
I like that movie a lot. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, fuck anybody who doesn't like that movie. But not really, but basically I think if you're not a fan of the old show, you probably wouldn't like the movie because it kind of took a... I don't know how to explain
it. It's very overstimulating.
It is, but I dug it a lot. I thought it was great.
I agree, too. I mean, it was just nuts, and in a good way, too. To me... That movie, if you had a Blu-ray system, you'd want to play that just to see that it works.
Non-stop.
Absolutely. Just like people had with The Matrix 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, it was...
Matrix wasn't on Blu-ray 10 years ago.
No, I'm just saying that when DVD first came out, everyone and their mother would play The Matrix to show off their equipment.
DVD
stuff. I think I may have mentioned this at some point.
All right.
But, that was another death of an icon. And, a lot of the people that do voice acting, especially for, like, dubbing, they would do all sorts of work. I could have sworn, like...
I think there were only, like, 5 people that worked on that show at the time on Speed Racer. Like, I mean, the actors and then I'm trying to think of what else was going on. Yeah, but Speed Racer was adapted from a manga comic book and then turned into an animated series and brought over here, and it blew up here.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
Even my father can attest to seeing Astro Boy in the 60s, which was one of the very first animes.
Absolutely, old black and white.
Yeah.
That Gigantor.
I don't know. I didn't hear anything about Gigantor. So.
What do you mean here?
I didn't say anything.
No, I meant just in general. It came out around the same time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I get you. Now, speaking of the 60s, I just want to mention this other thing, because this is the other great highlight of the week.
Helvetica. The font is what you want to talk about. No,
God damn it.
Go ahead.
Did you actually watch the documentary Helvetica?
I did. Yeah, it was great. It's an amazing
documentary.
Are
you serious?
It's fantastic.
You know, speaking of that, I actually saw there was a trailer for a documentary on this competition held every year on grocery bagging.
I saw this.
Did you see the trailer to this?
Well, no, but I can guarantee you Helvetica is better than that.
I still can't believe they actually did a documentary on this. I'm going to sound like a snob on this. It's like, really, of all the things they're going to depict, I'm going to watch a thing on the competition of professional grocery bagging.
That's a fucking skill, man. Have you ever gotten bad bagging at a grocery store?
Hell yeah, that's why I bag myself.
Yeah.
It's like Tetris. But I just think it's like, really, we're going to depict this? It just seems like...
You can't put a six-pack of soda on top of the eggs.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
That's why you get professionals in there.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, real professionals.
Professionals. Do not shit on people who get paid to do a service for mankind.
Yeah, hey, I did those jobs, if you don't know what if you get my drift. Not that kind of servicing.
You didn't do that. You didn't.
I was a janitor.
I know, but you didn't. Yeah, exactly. And if they had a janitor competition, you and somebody was like, fuck janitors, fucking losers.
I'm not saying like, fuck the competition. I'm saying why did they make a documentary on it? Just because.
You said fuck all people who bag and they're losers.
I did not say fuck grocery baggers. I said, why do they bother making a documentary about this? To me, it's like, of all the things to talk about, this is what they came up with. At least I can understand, like, they just did a documentary on the guy who lost his shit selling Winnebagos. I could see something there, just because there's some real mystery, because these videos are old. But it just seems like, of all the things they're going to talk about, but I suppose something good will come out of it. I'm not going to watch it, but, you can just do a lot worse, and the documentary doesn't look too poorly put together. I mean...
You're going to watch it anyway?
No, I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to see it anyway.
No, I'm just not shitting all over it, I suppose. Just because I'm going to try and give it... It's like really of all
the things... Wait, so you're endorsing it, but you're not going to watch it?
I'm incredibly indifferent on this.
Okay.
I'm not endorsing it.
That's the third indifferent thing today.
Yes. Well, I'm being very Gen X today. So, I got my flannel on and... oh, yeah. So... But yeah, going back to talking about the 60s, I actually had the pleasure of seeing MGMT last night.
Wait. What does that have to do with the 60s?
Let me get into what I'm talking about here.
That was a weird segue.
Well, let me lay down what I'm talking about. So I saw MGMT last night at the Greek. First off, concert was fucking awesome. Second of all, the Greek, amazing venue. You may have heard about the Greek from that movie, Get Him to the Greek, starring the comedy black hole that is Russell Brand. But also, I had never been to this venue. So I had actually gone, and it's an amazing, very intimate venue, very easy to get to, and the great thing is, everything has to shut down at 11, so you know any show you're going to see, they're going to keep things moving, and lo and behold, they did for this show. So I went to the Greek, I went to see MGMT, I haven't really followed their stuff, but I obviously had their three big hits from their first album.
Kids,
Electric Feel, Time...
was that their first album? Or
yeah,
was it
Oracular
their first
Spectacular.
Was it their first main?
They have... I think they have an EP before that. They just came out with their second album. Congratulations.
Oh, nice. Are they dicks? Were they dicks? Because I heard they were dicks.
For what?
What? That band?
Well, they're from Brooklyn. What else is...
No, I just meant... No, I meant just in general. I heard they were dicks. Like, they wouldn't play their big hits on
now,
stage.
Now, it's funny you
stuff.
Mention that, because, in fact, they played all their hits yet last night. They played their three, and the crowd lost their goddamn mind.
Yeah.
They did play all their
Did they have those kid noises in the background for the kids' song?
Not to my
knowledge. All the little kids playing in the background?
No.
That's my least favorite part of the song.
No. Now, it's funny you mention that. Speaking of kids, I went to Google or YouTube a music video for kids, and I didn't realize the video I had watched where it's consisting of a lot of found videotape footage and two people with paint on their faces. I wasn't aware that was a fan video. That was not an actual official video. And then what happened was that video got 30 million hits. It was done by a USC film student who just threw it together for a music video class. They liked it so much, they brought those two people and then the director onto their next video for Time to Pretend.
What the fuck? Awesome.
Yes. And so the reason I say the 60s is because when they did their show...
It reminded you of back in the day in the 60s?
Well, when I fought Nam, it was a very difficult time.
Yeah.
And,
took you right back
to
the old
days.
Yeah,
I had a horrendous flashback, but... The reason I say the 60s is because if you listened to their stuff, and just sat, because the way I sat there in that listening to that show, it felt like you could have thought that these guys would have been playing in 1967 on the Smothers Brothers comedy album. They say this when they refer to them in print, is that they're some kind of psychedelic-like band.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, there's more to it than that. I don't follow music all that well. I can't peg them all that well. But the show was amazing. Just kept on moving. Audience was having a great time. Obviously, people were smoking a lot of weed. Now, it was funny, speaking of that, before anything had started for the show, someone decided to spark one, so we're all smelling it, and I'm looking around, and I yelled out, the show hasn't even started yet, this is like moshing without the music, why are they wasting
Dude,
money?
You gotta get high before the show starts, man, you can't just start getting high while the show's going on.
Well, I thought weed is like kind of, I don't know how much weed costs, but it's like, really?
What are you doing regulating people's weed intake?
I'm just saying, why are you wasting weed on the first
opening
act?
You don't even know. Don't
start. This pisses me off a lot.
I'm calling you Dr. Buzzkill, and you're killing the high. You're just going around killing people's high. You just point at people.
No, it's funny you mentioned.
You, sir, should wait.
Speaking of highs getting killed, I had my official Nazi. I had my hipster hat on, which is the hat I bought for originally. I was going to be Carl Spackler from Caddyshack. I had my hat on with my Woot t-shirt of the DeLorean and TARDIS crashing into each other. Man. So it's fun because some hipster...
That's more nerd than hipster. Sorry.
God damn it, you just got a rain on my parade. But anyway, some guy had his girlfriend and he had a friggin' nuke.
Oh, fuck
God
you.
Damn it.
Go fuck yourself. You fucking
like this son of a bitch is getting laid. And it's like this guy getting away with a goddamn New Kids on the Block t-shirt.
Fuck you, sir.
Three goddamn dickers.
Whoever you are.
But yeah,
you.
Concert was amazing. Probably the best show I'd ever seen. And I have not been to many shows, as you know. And I was thoroughly impressed. And I had not listened to their albums, and now I gotta go buy their albums. It was really, really good. Like I said, you would have thought these guys would have been from 1967, except for one song, which is called Brian Eno. So, and they had random crap playing in the background. All the things I enjoy. And you know what else they had? A fucking ocarina in the show. And obviously when they announced that they're playing an ocarina, it was like, yeah, ocarina! Basically pulled a Will Ferrell there.
Yeah.
So, it's like, yeah, you know. So, and the people I was sitting next to, these were some, older concert folk, really cool show. And the other thing that was great was that the second opening band called Francis and the Lights was great. I had never heard of these guys. When I had heard them, it was like very, it kind of reminded me of Peter Gabriel. And the only reason I think they're on with the...
Like what Peter Gabriel, like the newer, more crazy, like
80s Peter Gabriel.
Like Sledgehammer Peter Gabriel?
Or like
or
Kiss Strawberry
the Frog
Hill.
Peter Gabriel.
Strawberry Hill.
Salisbury Hill?
Yeah. Salisbury Hill.
I don't know.
I'm not shocked the monkey Peter Gabriel. I don't know. Whatever.
I'm confused now. You just named every Peter Gabriel.
No self-control. I don't know. But anyway... So Francis and the Lights, and I looked these guys up as to why they associate with MGMT. They were in the same school together, Wesleyan University. There's also this kind of funny video from YouTube where someone had taken a video of MGMT from 03, where they're doing some just show at their school, and they're just standing around playing Talking Heads covers.
Oh, shit.
It's just like 20 people in front of them.
Yeah.
They're having a good time. Plus, the front man has somewhat fluffy hair, and I can relate as an individual with very fluffy hair the trouble and annoyances that can be when you try to grow it out.
Yeah.
So, like I said, show was fantastic. Francis and the Lights, the front man was great. Real good energy. Dancing up, it was unbelievable. I was thoroughly impressed by this, and it was not overpoweringly loud. And as I said, the show just kept on moving. And we had it was just an amazingly great time.
You know, it's...
Really great time.
Speaking of 60s-style rock, Jet has a new album. Or they,
I thought
I
Jet
say,
broke up.
Did they break up recently? I shouldn't
they
say
did.
They have a new album. It's not new. It's actually... I think it came out, like, last year.
Right.
But I should say I listened. I finally listened to the new Jet album.
Right.
Because I thought it was going to be cool, like, their first mainstream album in 2004. Or 2003, whatever it came out. And it's kind of like both their last two CDs combined, and it kind of blows.
Yeah, I was
so
not surprised.
Yeah,
but I think that's.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, I feel good actually. Just the fact that I actually made an attempt to see some damn good music.
Yeah.
And I remember many, many years ago when I went to my very first concert. We talked about this back in 2004. I remember talking to this guy. Who said they're no longer with us. I knew him online from my Ain't It Cool News days when we used to chat. The guy used to be a contributor for the alternative press. Let me tell you, you know, you're gonna like live music, and I really do. It's tough. It's like, I enjoy it if I can sit down and I can really enjoy the stuff. I don't have the will to be standing on a floor for hours on end and then everyone loses their shit in a pit area.
Well, that's because that one time you got violated in the middle of the
I've been to other concerts where it's been I've had general admission.
Yeah.
Where you've had to stand around. It's just really
I don't know if we,
exhausting.
I know we went over that one time on the show, but you got bit by a woman.
Nearly bit. Nearly. If I'd been bit, I would have had to go. I'd have to get
I
shots.
Thought you got bit. You showed me that mark on your arm.
No. She pressed down, but she didn't break the skin.
No, but she still bit you.
Yeah.
She put teeth. She sunk teeth into your flesh.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But it wasn't. It wasn't full penetration.
No. I don't mean she bit through your skin. I just mean
she did
bit,
bite me.
Yeah, she bit you, dude.
Yeah, it was still ridiculous.
That's crazy. That's like savage behavior.
I know. And thankfully, no one moshed at an MGMT concert. That was, which was nice.
So you. Sorry.
Yeah.
They're like, no moshing, no getting high. I want this concert, I want this to be like, you're playing an old folks home.
Yeah.
Everybody just sit down and shut up.
Yeah, I want to watch the goddamn show. I want them to do their thing.
You want concerts to be like going to the movies?
Yeah, I guess so. I do, actually. Okay. But then we all stood up, and we were like swaying around. Some dude whipped out a lighter. And it was a good mixed crowd. I actually, when I first showed up there, I thought, like, there were not a lot of people. I was like, this is it? And it turns out a lot of people just showed up towards the end, so when the concert actually began. But it was great. I mean, I was a little surprised the band merch was kind of sloppy looking, but it was like, I didn't buy anything, so what do I care? But no, I didn't get to nail anybody after the show. And then I had to make, and I wasn't sure if I still had gotten that contact high, but on the way out, because the Greek is in a residential area, you have to go down these narrow roads and put parking cones. Well, I had to make a hard left, and I nearly ran over a parking cone.
Oh my god.
I think some people swooped.
Wild.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy shit.
That's a crazy night right there.
Yeah, wild, wild stuff. But I definitely will pick up their albums and pick up Plants and the Lights. I think they have an EP out. As I said, I really do recommend checking it out. And it's been really, I mean, this is the first concert I've been to in at least a couple of years. Yeah. So I don't know if I'll go, I mean, I'm sure I'll go to other shows at some point. And I really like the Greek. I just, you know, it's a matter of what'll be coming up, because they're going to play Dane Cook's band. It's like, now if they had, I was planning to do this, if they had actually physically announced Dane Cook was showing up, I would have booed them. But they didn't, so I couldn't have booed
them.
Because
they know everyone's going to boo.
Yeah, I know I would have.
Yeah.
But as I said, there was a goddamn ocarina. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The last show I saw, speaking of 60s sounding bands again, I saw OK Go at a small place
in
Hollywood, and they were really cool. They're actually really great live. I freaked out because I felt like an old man because they played Don't Bring Me Down by ELO.
Yeah.
And I lost my shit because I was so excited about that.
Well, how could you be an old man? You weren't even alive when that song came out.
Well, I felt like an old man because they played an ELO song and I got excited about it.
No one else got excited?
Well, they did, but not. I don't think as much as I did.
I think it was more we just appreciate the fire sounds.
I levitated.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if they were going to play the Justice remix of Electric Feel, I would have lost my goddamn mind. But they didn't. And, but you know, that's just how it was. But, yeah, really. Oh, and speaking of stuff, I actually drove by the Dresden room in Hollywood. I didn't get to go in, but I still finally saw it.
Oh, the Dresden?
Yeah. Seemed like a nice place.
Yeah, my girlfriend knows the owner.
Oh, wow.
And the owner's wife, you know, the owner and stuff like that.
Right.
They're really nice people, and the place is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty big, actually.
It's small, but it's good. It's a good place.
That's
it's
good.
It's really cool. That was where they shot Swingers, for anyone who's interested in that. They shot the club scene where they all sit in that booth in the corner. I think it was they turned it into the swing club. It was just the swing bar.
I haven't seen Swingers in a long time.
Yeah, I think it was the scene before they go outside and the guy pulls a gun on those guys.
Yeah, all I remember from Swingers is really the scene where it's like, look, I can make the guy's head bleed.
Dude, you gotta see Swingers again. That's an amazing movie.
It's been a while, but I gotta watch First Blood, so.
Yeah.
And speaking of watching stuff, because we're in this ridiculous heat, you know what I just rewatched? Predator 2.
Fuck, man. I saw that on, I was at, I was out like a couple weekends ago, and that was on TV, and that is a terrible movie.
It is.
That is a terrible film.
It is.
I mean,
but
like,
Morton Downey Jr. is actually very good at it.
I forgot how bad it was.
It is not a very good film.
It's really bad.
Yes. But
did you see Predators? Are you gonna go see Predators?
I haven't gotten around to it.
I haven't seen it. I heard it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, I heard the same thing. I know that I'm familiar with the director of Predators because he did a movie called Control.
And Nimrod.
Nimrod Antal. And actually, it's funny about speaking of Nimrod. That name actually means hunter, and the way people call someone a Nimrod, was not meant to be a slight against someone. The idea of calling someone a Nimrod, and that was from Looney Tunes when Bugs Bunny would call Elmer Fudd a Nimrod.
Yeah, because he is a hunter. Yeah.
So it sounds like an insult.
Yeah.
Yeah. The dude's Hungarian, and he did the movie Control with a K, not Control with a C, which is the movie about Ian Curtis from Joy Division, which is an amazing movie. I love that movie, Control.
Yeah.
And it's set in the Budapest metro, and you know, it's always set in the metro, and I love that stuff. There's something about, to me, I really enjoy, you know, cities and all that. And I remember earlier this week when I went out on a hike in Hollywood, of all places, I had to cut through all these people.
Wait, where'd you go on a hike in Hollywood?
Runyon Canyon.
Where's that?
That's on Fuller. It's north. You got to go west a little bit on Hollywood Boulevard, and then north on Fuller, and you'll come right up to it. Amazing views.
Awesome.
And the thing is that on that day, and I went there on a Tuesday, the premiere for Inception was appearing. Now, I haven't seen Inception yet. I was busy seeing MGMT last night. And I know you're not going to spoil anything, so I don't have to threaten
you
with violence.
I did see it. I want to tell you why I saw it, too. I saw it last night. Marissa was so upset with me because I forced her to go see it at like 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
Or 11:15 showing, and we had to wait in line for an hour. And the only reason I did that was because I thought we were going to be talking about it today.
Yeah, I had originally planned to see Inception yesterday, but I had, before I went to MGMT...
Just say it. You didn't see it.
I didn't see
you
it
didn't
because I was
fucking see it, but I
hey,
saw
hey,
it.
Hey, hey, hey. Because I had a surfing lesson that I didn't do very, yeah. I got it kind of got disappointed at. I just thought, it's going to be really crowded in MGMT. I better get some rest.
You're like, sorry, my fucking nerd friend. I got to go surfing and go to concerts.
Yeah,
I
haven't
been
getting any physical activity in my life.
Yeah.
God damn it. You know? The one time I haven't seen a movie in God knows how long in the theater, because this is like the only one of two movies I want to see this summer, and I didn't get around to it.
What about Tron, man? Oh, wait, that's
Tron
not the
is
summer.
This
that's
Christmas.
December. Yeah.
The only other movie is Scott Pilgrim. That's the only other thing, because God damn, it's been terrible.
You're not going to go see The Sorcerer's Apprentice?
Good Lord. Jesus.
That movie
Someone
looks
pointed
so
out
awful.
That Jay Baruchel has been playing a college student for the past 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Which is true, because he's really good at
undeclared. I hate that guy's acting.
Yeah. Are you saying that because he kind of looks sort of like me? I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's the only reason,
you
yeah.
Son of a bitch.
No, man, I fucking hate that guy's acting, dude. Every movie is exactly
well,
the same.
Well, he's Canadian, so you gotta
I see. I see what the problem is.
Yes.
Okay.
I saw Predator 2, and it reminded me a lot because I'm going through because there's the premiere for Inception. I had to cut through the streets of Hollywood. It's crowded, hot as balls, sweating like a son of a bitch, and I'm running through the streets.
And the Jamaican Mafia is opening
Jamaican
fire.
Jamaican crime lords were at opening fire. Morton Downey Jr. wouldn't shut up. Danny Glover saying something unintelligible.
Yeah.
And Bill Paxton's being Bill Paxton and being fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know who Bill Paxton is, right?
I do, yes.
Okay, I had to make sure.
Absolutely.
Because otherwise
now
your
why,
ass is
why
on the street.
Why are you asking me if I know
I'm
who
questioning
Bill
you.
Paxton is?
This is just it's a matter of loyalty, all right?
Yeah.
I'm just making sure you know who Bill Paxton is.
You wouldn't be referencing another show maybe called Brain Dead Radio... And
maybe I am.
Maybe their co-host, C.J. Larson, who did not know who Bill Paxton was. Is that what
it?
And then, on further inspection, not only did he not know who he was, wasn't really impressed with him. Didn't care.
That is absolutely horrifying. The fact that Bill Paxton is one of the greatest things Texas has ever produced.
And I'm not sure anyone had referenced this, but Bill Paxton was also in Tombstone.
That's
one
right.
One of the greatest movies of all time. If you watch it, it will make you grow a third testicle.
Well, I thought the Old Spice ads have already addressed this, actually.
Oh, I haven't seen them.
You haven't seen them?
No.
Oh, they're amazing. They're very, very good.
I watched very little TV.
But yeah, the hike was great. Predator 2 was horrible, but I've seen worse, and I could at least...
Name one worse. Okay, well, Aliens vs. Predator is worse than Predator
Yeah,
2,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It just progressively gets worse.
It does. And the thing is, the Predator's a damn good villain, too.
Yeah, I don't know how you fucked
Not
that
even
up.
Really a villain, actually, because it's... And it's crazy
antagonist,
that...
Antagonist, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Because, and if you go on Wikipedia, it's crazy how they break down the Predator. They have the whole thing of, like, the way the world works and how many... The hierarchy. Some guy did a graphic novel, I guess, about their society.
Oh, yeah. That's all horseshit.
Yeah. Really friggin' ridiculous.
When they do too much detail like that, it kind of ruins
Way too much detail.
Yeah, it's like Star Wars.
Although, I mean, the idea of Predator 2 is that you have it in the urban environment is a great idea, but you know what it would work?
Batman versus Predator, yeah.
Yes. But more importantly, hell, why didn't the Predator, come down? I mean, it's funny that they say the
Wait,
Predator...
Wait, don't
is a,
derail. What were we going to say?
The Predator is attracted to heat and conflict, right? Well, what if the conflict's in a cold area? Is the Predator not going to show up then?
Probably not. He looks like a lizard thing or something.
You're right. So he's not going to... So he won't show up during the troubles of Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson is not going to take down the Predator.
Right, right.
Which is a shame.
Yeah.
We know
actually, a friend of mine... shout out to Andrew.
Yes.
Good friend of ours. He said they should have mixed the Expendables with Predator.
That's a very good idea, actually.
He's like, why the hell did they do the group on the Predators movie? Why wasn't the group from the Expendables?
I honestly would have watched it, even though that seems like too much. Yeah, that would have been a really good idea.
That would have been fucking amazing.
Yeah. Stallone versus the Predator.
Yeah, and then
that's what
Schwarzenegger would have had a cameo as Duke. Old Duke.
Dutch.
Dutch, sorry. Oh my god, I fucked that up.
Yes.
Sorry, I got it confused with G.I. Joe. I called him Duke instead of Dutch.
You would have been already Duke, I think. I mean, that's the way I say it. But,
well, not really.
Yeah, I mean, Sloan versus Predator. Hell, that's the whole reason behind Predator is the idea is like, what, Rocky going to fight an alien?
And it would actually be them boxing, too.
Yes. I love that.
They capture the Predator and force him to box Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. I love how, I hope when someone actually said that idea, it's like those moments in the biopics where someone says something and they just look like it's the greatest goddamn idea ever. It's like, what are you going to do, Rocky fight an alien? They just look up to the sky. Yeah. It's like, oh my.
Speaking of movie pitches, I saw a trailer during Inception for a movie called Devil. Have you heard of this?
It all takes place inside an elevator. It's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. I heard about it. It takes place in an elevator.
Wait, is it M. Night Shyamalan?
It's produced.
Oh, okay. I know it didn't look like his directing, but... it was funny because when I saw the movie, my girlfriend and I were talking about it afterward, and it really looked like a movie where during the pitch, the people that they were pitching it to got bored with their pitch, so they just at the end said, because they're pitching the entire movie being a bunch of people on an elevator. That's the entire film. 2 hours of people on an elevator, and they're really not like going with it. They're like, meh. And then so one of the guys pitching it goes, oh, and one of them is the devil.
Yes.
And so it's just, I thought, like, that's the greatest.
How many zeros do you want to the check?
Oh, I thought that would be, like, the greatest way to get out of any bad movie pitch ever is you just twist it around so one of them is the devil.
Right. And, well, it's the other idea of, like, the serial killer. Like, an adaptation. It's like the serial killer is really the good guy and things like that.
No, it's not. It's better than that.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
You really sure?
Yes.
But, yeah, I'll definitely be seeing Inception today, and I highly look forward to it. I'm sure...
We should talk about it on the podcast after you see it. Oh,
absolutely.
Wait a minute. No, we're doing that right now.
I know, because I went to a goddamn concert instead.
Yeah, you had to go to the Greek.
Yes, I had to get to the Greek. You know, it was absolutely amazing. And it was just something I had to do, you know, just had to take care of. I had to sacrifice myself for the greater good.
Gotcha.
Absolutely. But... that's about... I mean, there's nothing else really during the summer. Man.
Oh, shit. We forgot speaking of movies coming out, not this summer, but next year, Thor.
Yeah, what do you think of this?
Thor, starring...
Once again, not a hero I ever followed.
No, I never really read much of the Thor stuff. I usually read him peripherally because he was in Avengers and stuff like that. But he's... they got a new picture up of...
Anthony Hopkins.
Golden-eyed Anthony Hopkins.
Right.
And Loki, a really downplayed Loki... and Thor, off in the corner.
All right, well, what do you think about him not having a winged helmet?
I don't give a shit.
Okay then.
I don't see how the winged helmet makes him any more badass.
You know, it's funny you mention that because you know Ed Norton got thrown out through the Hulk.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But you know they replaced him with goddamn Mark Ruffalo.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
That's going to be something, isn't it?
That's crazy, dude. I didn't know that.
It's kind of a shame for Ed Norton, but, I mean, how did you feel about that?
I liked him as Banner, and I thought it would be really cool if he came back for the sake of consistency, but I also hear he's a huge pain in the ass.
Right.
So it's like, I mean, you got to do what you got to do, but, you know, you don't want some... I would assume, like, I think it'd be, you would want to, like, have this worked out contractually so that he couldn't be a dick afterward and like recut your movie or get you fired or be just
basically pull the Terrence Howard from what we can gather.
I don't know about that. I always heard that the Terrence Howard thing was pretty straightforward, that he just wanted they hired him first, they gave him more money for the first movie, then they wanted to cut down his fee for the second movie and he refused.
Okay.
That's all I heard. I don't know. But there wasn't a lot of, I don't think they refuted that though.
Okay.
But anyway, whatever, who cares.
Still, Mark Ruffalo. I mean,
that's a good casting choice.
Though. I love the Ruffalo. So he's damn good in The Brothers Bloom. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Great con movie, and then also Zodiac.
Yeah.
And
I believe you referred to him as the poor man's Vincent D'Onofrio.
I never called him the poor man's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Are you sure?
I'm very
sure. I think you have that recorded somewhere.
Well, if someone could point this out to me,
I'm going
to
bring it up next time.
The forums of at forums.braindeadradio.com.
Maybe I'm thinking of another actor, but I could have sworn you called him
Mark Ruffalo the poor man's Vincent D'Onofrio.
I really think you did.
I mean, they're both Italian.
Anyone who heard that, if I didn't make that up,
please
back me up on
yes,
the
please
forums.
Bring it to our attention at forums.braindeadradio.com.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's going to play Banner. I know. Which is like an interesting piece of casting, but I'm sure it'll be great. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
And
he'll have probably more character than Norton too. As much as I think Norton is an effective actor, I don't think he has like a lot of dimension.
A lot of range, you mean?
I don't know. I just don't. I don't really feel his performances as much as I think he wants me to.
Did you ever see him in Primal Fear?
Yes.
Okay, because he's very good in Primal Fear, which is also a pretty good movie.
Yeah, but he's being manic and then he's yelling and then it's like, that's just so...
Well, he's
like,
also good in the, he's great in The 25th Hour, but then the whole movie's
that.
Great. Mm-hmm. The only movie I haven't seen him in is American History X.
Hey, why haven't you seen that one?
Huh?
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't gotten around to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
well, he's a fucking lunatic in that movie.
I know.
I forgot about that one.
The infamous curb stomping scene, which I've seen, unfortunately, due to, you know, people putting it online. So.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hell, there's another movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt I need to see called Mysterious Skin, which I hear is a real difficult movie to watch, but it's like, I really want to check this out.
Is that the... Oh, never mind. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think you know what it is, so... I really look forward to that, because, I mean, he's in Inception, and damn,
I gotta say, I was getting a little bit tired of Joseph Gordon-Levitt until I recently saw Inception, and I thought he did an amazing job in the movie.
Yeah, I can't wait to check him out.
Yeah.
In many, many ways, if you get my drift.
Alright, there you go.
Yeah, so not only will I see it.
That's kind of creepy, though, because he kind of looks like you, so it's like, are you...
You son of a bitch!
I don't know what you're trying
you're
to say.
You're not the first one who said that, either. Vaguely. I'm not...
It's just a vague
similarity. But you're not the only one who have pointed that out, actually. I think it was Bobby Bear himself on the boards, actually. Because we were trying to figure out who would play each other in the movie. And we'd be like, he put a picture of Gordon Levitt. Like, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I actually saw Gordon Levitt when I went to see the screening of The Brothers Bloom. He was there. I just like, oh my god, there he is. And so he just looked like a regular guy.
I've heard some interviews with him. He sounds like kind of an asshole, but I can't make it.
Well, it's Hollywood,
I can't figure
man.
Out. Yeah, I can't figure out.
How do you figure he's an asshole?
No, he was on Loveline. I heard him on
Loveline.
Oh,
well, Loveline just sucks balls.
What the fuck is wrong with you with Loveline?
Loveline's
awesome,
man. I don't like
awesome,
the advice
man.
They give.
What are you talking about? They don't give advice. They just talk about medical shit.
But it's like, it's not very good. It's not very good
what
advice.
What are you talking about? It's not good advice. They say, like, I've got this fucking thing that I don't know what it is. They say, go to the doctor.
Yeah.
How's that bad advice?
Maybe it's because I can only tolerate Adam Cole when he used to be on the show.
Adam Carolla's not on the show. He's been on the show for years, dude.
I know. But I can say, I enjoy Adam Carolla, but when he gets...
Adam Carolla was the best on Loveline, man.
He was, but then when he brought God into his rants... I mean, he must be talking about...
Why do you hate Loveline? How can you hate Loveline?
Because I prefer the advice of Savage Love.
There's no connection between Savage Love and Loveline. This is an ongoing debate, by the way. I'm bringing this onto the podcast. Savage Love is no way connected with Loveline. Loveline is not advice for people or whoever for dating. It's about weird sexual shit.
That's pretty much
and
the Savage
trying
Love
to deal too. With... What the hell? Like, oh, hey, I like sticking a metal rod in my penis. And,
oh,
and
sounding.
Like, some shit like that. And, like, what is it? It's like you stick the metal rod in there.
You
which,
fine tune
if you
it
can
something.
Even get past that part.
I think I actually accidentally saw a video of this. I didn't know what I was looking at.
Accidentally. Anyway, but...
I said accidentally.
You're like, this looks intriguing. Oh, God!
My eyes are burning.
What is this, penis?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Why is he taking his temperature there? Oh, my God!
So, anyway, you know, you get people calling up, and they're into that, and they tell them, you know, like, well, it's dangerous, or,
well,
you know, all this stuff.
Dr. Drew
like,
says, like, you're either sexually touched by a parent or relative as a kid, or you have some type of disease. That seems to be all the advice he gets.
That's not really advice.
Yeah, he never seems to give it. So, you're saying he just does not give advice.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand your point.
Isn't Loveline a show where you get advice?
No.
It's not.
Well, I guess you could call it... When you say advice, I'm thinking of, like, help with, like... I don't know, it sounds superficial. Like, I need advice, like, what do I do about, you know... How do I go about getting a date? Sounds like an advice, but I guess what you're talking about is like a more broad kind of thing where it's like, you know, oh, hey, I'm, you know.
Like I'm like 20, I'm in my late 20s.
I'm urinating green sludge, what do I do?
Yes.
And so like they call up a lot
you're
of questions like
that. Cooler.
Yeah, exactly. And they call up with questions like that and then they say, well, it could be this or it could be that. But really, you gotta go to the doctor. Those are about, you know, half the things. And then you deal with, people are calling in with compulsions that they don't know how to even deal with. And sometimes you'll be like, okay, well, look, you know, it sounds like you got a deep-rooted problem that comes from way far beyond just, you know, this superficial thing that you're talking about. Like, you know, I like a certain, you know, somebody calls in and they're like, my boyfriend's trying to force me to have anal sex. And then they're like, okay, well, it sounds like your boyfriend's a domineering asshole because you don't like it. You know, you don't want it. And she's saying she doesn't want it.
Well,
these people, they're like, you know, he's forcing you to do something you're not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And really, you should, you know, have some self-respect and also just know that this isn't going to kill you if you just say no and just stand up for yourself and really, you know, deal with that. That's good advice right there. It's just like, don't let somebody, you know, make you a fucking sex puppet.
Right.
And all that stuff. So, you know, they do that. They do more, you know, they go on and on and on. This is turning into a Loveline commercial here. But
right.
The point is that it's a great show. And I'm not saying, I'm saying, like, it's like saying, I don't
listen
like,
to the Savage Love
I don't
podcast,
like, though. Hold on, no, I haven't.
Oh, but, you gotta listen
hold
to
on
it.
A second. But okay. It's like saying, I don't like, Planet of the Apes because Godfather's better. And you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Like,
well, no, because obviously those are two different movies and two different genres. When I hear about Loveline, to me it's like...
But, okay, are there any doctors on Savage Love? Any doctors?
Occasionally there's a doctor brought in.
Okay, but, I mean, the host, is it a doctor?
No, it's a sex columnist.
It's just a sex columnist. It's just some asshole who has zero qualifications to be talking about anything at all, going on and on and on about nothing. So... Then you got that versus a guy who's an actual doctor. And remember, he's the crux of the show.
Yeah.
He's the one who's been around since, like,
maybe
the
80s. Because I don't agree with his views or something.
Agree with the views? What do you mean?
I don't know. I can't give a specific example.
You don't like doctors? Do you not like medical diagnosis?
I like
is that what it is?
It's the issue with doctors. I have no problem going to the dentist.
So what do you hate? I got to get to the bottom of this.
I just
what
don't
the
like
hell
the advice
hate
they give to me. I mean, obviously, it's a call-in show where they
okay,
it's
so
very, very...
Can you give at least one example?
Christ.
Like, at least, even if you have to make it up just to make your point. I mean, not saying, like, fictionalize it, but just, like,
equate it with something. It's tough, because I can't think of something off the top of my head. I mean, the way also Drew gives advice compared to the way Dan Savage gives advice, I prefer the way Dan Savage does.
Dan Savage is not a qualified physician.
That doesn't mean shit if you can't give advice properly.
What is that? Oh, so you're saying he doesn't have good bedside manner?
Yeah, or something like that. I just prefer Dan Savage.
Right, okay, so you prefer Dan Savage, but does that mean Loveline sucks?
I'll still stand by saying I don't like Loveline.
You say you don't like Loveline, but that doesn't mean it sucks. Saying something sucks is huge, man. It's huge. It means it's beyond shit. It's so beyond shit that you can say confidently that universally it is hated and nobody likes it.
Right.
Like Ben Affleck. It's not Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck directed Gone Baby
yeah,
Gone.
Yeah, and he's directing some
good.
New movie that looks like shit.
Movie is not. Did you see Gone Baby Gone?
No, he's directing a new movie that looks like shit.
Oh,
and he's
Town,
in it.
Yeah,
yeah, The Town. It looks awful.
Because, I mean, Gone Baby Gone is goddamn good. I will say that.
I know, right? But I meant as an actor.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see him on screen. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to see Ben Affleck in anything.
To me, it wasn't that bad. He just got overexposed. That's what
he
my thing.
He doesn't act. He doesn't do anything. He just cries.
Cries?
He cries all the time. That's every movie. He just cries. And then the other times he's just confused. He's like, I'm confused. And then I cry. That's
and then
it.
He,
that's
then he rape, you know, ass rapes someone in the back of a Volkswagen on Mallrats. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's right. Who's your favorite new kid? Call me Donnie.
Yes.
Yes, from Mallrats.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of that, because Michael Rooker's in it, you know what else I saw? Days of Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
That movie is Top Gun with cars. In fact, you could make a fan theory that Cole Trickle is actually the pilot from Top Gun, because the way they introduced Tom Cruise in that movie is exactly like Top Gun. It's Top Gun on Michael Rooker's in it, so... You know, he's all right. I still haven't seen Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Oh, wait, I figured it out. You know what sucks that we can say it sucks and is not good at all?
Right.
And this is why saying something sucks is so important to use it carefully.
Yeah.
You know what sucks? Terminator Salvation sucks.
Okay.
That's the worst movie
That's a very
ever.
Good question.
Do you understand
thing
what
I'm
saying?
This was an incident that was brought up on the board
right.
this week.
But hold on. Let's okay. go back to that in just one second. But I just want to make my point here before we move on, because we do have to address this. But... Saying something sucks means it's awful. It's the worst thing ever. It's beyond terrible. Like The Crow with Edward Furlong.
That's horrible.
That sucks. There's no other way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, it was okay.
No, it was not. No, it
and
was
I'm just
not.
Saying, Loveline doesn't suck. It
okay.
doesn't suck. It's not so bad that you go, fuck, I don't even know how to describe it. It sucks. It
right.
fucking sucks. There's no other way to say it. No, it's like, you don't like it? I respect that. That's
okay.
fine. But choose your words carefully.
Right.
Choose your words carefully, because sucks means something
yes.
in America.
In America.
Continue.
Okay. So going on. Well, all right. So before. So wait. How does this relate to smelling like Bruce Willis? I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, we'll get back to that.
We'll get back to that issue shortly.
Teaser.
About T3. There is an issue. We'll provide a little bit of backstory.
Wait. We're talking about T4, but now we're going to go to T3, and there's a reason this all ties in with
yes.
the Terminator. And
then it's tangentially connects with smelling like Bruce Willis.
Right.
Okay.
I don't know how, but we'll figure it out.
We'll
but
work it what we'll
So wait, out. Real quick, do you mind if I set this up?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
So a certain Rob Hughes, a one Rob Hughes of Braindead Radio,
yes.
Who we've been known to have rivalries with in the past. We disagree with their views over there.
I
and
know
and
that
their
very
hatred,
well.
their writhing hatred for Bill Paxton. And
wait, let's clarify that Rob Hughes does not hate Bill Paxton. He's in love with the Paxton.
We actually, I think we heard the beginning of the end of Braindead Radio. I don't want to overstate this, but I heard I heard the disappointment in Rob with CJ over the Bill Paxton issue,
right.
And I think it's the beginning of the end. I think that they're not going to be able. They can't be friends anymore.
Yes.
It's done. It's done. So I'm sorry. R.I.P. Braindead Radio Podcast, CJ. CJ, sorry you gotta go, man. I like CJ a lot, by the way. I think he's hilarious.
Yes.
I don't know if I say that all the time. CJ, you're awesome. I'm sorry that it didn't work out with you and Rob. I know the Bill Paxton. I didn't think Bill Paxton was gonna be the way that was gonna go down. But, you know, again, you gotta go. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Anyway, continuing, Rob Hughes said that Terminator 2 sucked and it doesn't hold up and that T3 is better. And that, I think he said Terminator Salvation sucks. See what I'm saying? It's universal.
Right.
You can't, even if you disagree with...
Although isn't it universally agreed about Terminator Salvation being garbage?
It's complete, utter trash.
Okay, so no, but wait, let's backtrack
it's
the fact that he
toilet
said
paper.
T3 was better than T2. Now,
yeah.
I haven't seen T3. You have. I've seen Terminator and Terminator 2. To me, Terminator 2, yeah, I know Edward Furlong's a pain in the ass, and and there's that one scene that I hate where he's like trying to make the Terminator be cool, even though the point of the whole scene is that it really enhances the fact this guy's a complete tool. This is supposed to be the leader of the goddamn resistance.
Say, chill out, dickwad.
Yes. Yes. Dipshit? Who are you calling? Oh, no way. It's got to be.
Did you call?
Who are you calling? Dipshit.
Did you call him? Dipshit.
I remember this in high school where like some guy's voice would get really high when he yelling, like,
yeah.
You can't keep killing people. You just can't.
Your voice is too deep, man. You can't do it.
Oh, yeah, you can't just keep on killing people. You just can't. Yeah, I know, because my balls had dropped some time ago. So, and especially in the summer hail.
Yeah.
But, yeah, T2 is a damn good movie. I know Edward Furlong, it's like, well, what can you do, you know? I don't know how you would have been able to fix this problem.
Well, there's an interesting theory that if you had set it further in the future, that they could have made Edward Furlong a better actor, and they said that DiCaprio could have played him as a kid and would have been 100 times better. I agree, but given that never happened, we have to deal with
reality. You know what would have worked? But yeah, you're right. Set it a little bit in the future, and you know what would have worked, even though I don't know his exact ages at the time? River Phoenix. Because he played young Indiana Jones.
Wasn't he passed away by that point?
He passed away in 93.
Oh, I thought it was nice.
But he played young Indiana Jones.
Yeah, he did.
So that would have worked.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, either
and
way,
he was
yeah.
great.
Uh-huh.
And he was great in Sneakers, and he would have been, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. There were tons of child actors that were better. They picked Edward Furlong. I don't have anything against Edward Furlong in the movie because he's supposed to be a kid, and they play him like a kid, and he's annoying, but whatever. The movie's fucking awesome. It doesn't matter. There's tons of movies where there's always a weak link, and the movie still goes on. It doesn't matter. It's fine. So what happened was he said T3 was better than T2. Now this is blasphemy. This is total fucking blasphemy because I would have gone to say, speaking of sucks and things that fucking suck.
Yeah.
I would have put money on on T3 being universally hated, that it sucked. It was one of the worst movies ever produced. It was pointless. It made no damn sense. And it was a piece of shit.
Well, I think also what the problem with the Terminator franchise is the fact, one, they shouldn't have made it a franchise. Two, they got too crazy with continuity. And the way T2 ended was perfect. There's no... I mean, a lot of people were like I want to see the people in the robot war and all that. And we were probably better off never encountering that. It's kind of like...
That's like
Zion.
Star Wars prequel. Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, I know you want to see the Clone Wars, but when they show it, it's not going to be as cool as when they just fucking said the Clone Wars, because everybody used their imagination and was like, oh my God, what the fuck is the Clone Wars? And then, by the way, that's in New Hope. Ben
yeah,
Kenobi
I've seen
says,
here. I've seen the.
He
the
says, "I, you know, you fought in the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
and we don't know what that means, so we got to go. Oh, fucking
once.
Clone Wars! That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh shit, what does that mean? Did they fight clones? What is it? Oh, did they try to clone fucking Jedis and make like a new army? What does it mean? Oh, it drove me crazy when I was a kid. And then I watched the movie, and I'm like, this is stupid, dude.
Hmm?
This doesn't make any sense. And so T2 kind of had that going for it, where the future war thing. That was not even the point of the story. The future war was a dramatic device to show how fucking bad everything had gotten.
Right.
And then making a whole story around it never really worked.
Now, it was said that T2 is basically a rehash of T1.
Basically like Evil Dead, where they just remade it. And
but I always thought they kind of
awesome.
Expanded things on with T2.
Well, I always thought...
they used the money.
I like T2 better than T1 just because they refined a lot about... the special effects and the special effects hold up pretty well these days for T2 for being made in 91.
Absolutely, actually.
And I know that it doesn't, it's not, I mean, I've seen movies today, literally, on this day today. No, I've seen movies recently that still have been produced recently that, that don't look as good as T2, meaning like cinematography.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, money everything was very well spent.
And, you know, like the lighting, the special effects,
yeah.
The performances for... You know, Cameron is this guy who makes kind of... He turns schlocky ideas and exploitative movies
into
classy, cool, bigger than they should be, better than they should be films that hold up over time. Rather than, you know, because his movies have never really, they don't have a, they have, I guess they, you could argue they have a certain amount of depth to them, mm-hmm. but I disagree. I mean, I think that they're kind of, they're pretty superficial and they're pretty basic.
Right.
But the themes and everything play into it so well, and they're so understated and you know, everything is so, like, played so dramatically, even though it's kind of hokey, but mm-hmm. they play it so realistically and seriously that it makes it a better quality than it really is, rather than just a B video, straight to video movie.
Yeah. Although, you know, speaking of schlocky ideas, I know I just mentioned that. You know what his next project is supposedly going to be?
Avatar 2?
No, a Black Eyed Peas concert film in 3D. Okay, I don't know if you're going to want to kill yourself at this point, but I'm completely serious.
I'm just not. I'm not.
Well, gonna, you know,
I'll be watching that.
Yeah, neither am I. But going back to T2, I always thought, as I said, it built upon everything. The concept of the T-1000 was great, in my view.
Yeah.
Robert Patrick was a damn good villain in that.
Yeah.
I thought he was.
He's amazing in it.
Yeah. It really, to me, it expanded
And it, you know, it's like sci-fi doesn't make perfect sense. Science fiction can't make sense because it's not real. No matter how realistic you want it to be, no matter what movie, name any movie, 2001 Space Odyssey plays things pretty realistically to a certain extent.
Right.
You know? You've got... I'm trying to think of, like,
example,
even movies like Solaris and movies that try to play everything so... Or I should say downplay everything and try to make science fiction so acceptable. Or that movie... What was that movie that really reignited the sun? What the hell was
Sunshine.
That? Sunshine, yeah. And all that... These films that try to understate science fiction still can't be real. They're not real. This may shock you. A movie like Lost in Space, not realistic. Can't
god awful.
Can't
movie.
Be realistic. No, I just mean, you know, no matter what you do, it's just no matter.
Although
like,
it's funny,
no matter how detailed it gets, can't be real.
No, obviously there's that, but you know what? I mean, there's certainly you know, you could do things. To, you know, there's that lived-in quality. Like I said, Outland is great, and then also Moon, unbelievable.
I'm gonna tell you something right now.
Okay.
I gotta tell you this. I'm taking a risk here.
Yeah.
Fuck Moon. I hated that movie.
That's outrageous.
I fucking hated that movie. That movie, I hated that movie. I wouldn't say
if
it
you want to bring this discuss this issue,
I wouldn't
go
say,
to forums.braindeadradio.com.
I wouldn't say it sucks.
Okay.
It's not that kind of movie.
You didn't like it.
I did not like it. I didn't like it.
Oh.
I thought it took from way too many other movies. It was too derivative. It was boring as shit. And I'm tired of Sam Rockwell.
How do you think you're tired of the Rockwell?
I'm tired of the Rockwell. And I think Rockwell has a hidden curse, because every big film that he's in that he tries to like branch out and do like bigger franchise type movies
mm-hmm.
or just bigger released movies,
don't blame him for
it gets
Angels.
Worse it gets worse and worse. Like, he tanks almost every movie that he's in. I'm not saying because of his quality, but like a curse or something. Like Iron Man 2, he showed up and I thought immediately, oh god, Sam Rockwell's in this. I don't think he's gonna be bad in it. Which I thought he was anyway, but
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be bad, but he could tank this movie just because his presence is here. And I blame him entirely for Iron Man 2, because it makes no sense why that movie
Bullshit,
sucked.
Bullshit, I don't
It makes
believe
no
that.
Sense why that movie sucked. They got the same people from the first movie. It should have been awesome. It wasn't. I blame Rockwell.
God damn it.
It's very simple math. Do it. Rockwell equals sucks.
He
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
You can't blame
sucks.
Him for collector Hitchhikers.
Yeah.
That's not his fault at all.
His fault.
He was one of the best things... Him and Alan Rickman as Marvin the Robot.
His fault. His
not
fault.
His fault. Did you ever see Confessions of a Dangerous Mind?
I Ooh, did.
It was great.
That's true. That's a very good one.
Very good movie.
That's awesome.
Even though it's got a lot of gratuitous
shots.
I
think Clooney's inability to... I don't know. A lot of people like Clooney. I'm not a big Clooney fan. But let's just say Clooney's force against the force of the curse of Rockwell.
Are you going to blame him?
I think
are you going to blame Rockwell for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Even that...
No, he was glorious in that.
For saying regular or menthol.
Yeah, and also, what was his last line in the movie?
I don't know.
we're a family. I think it was his other. He had like two lines in the
movie. Oh yeah, you're taking a big chance here with saying.
Wait,
that's
I want to like Sam Rockwell. I've seen him be good in so many movies, but I'm tired of him being like, let's just let the camera sit on him for hours. And he's very entertaining. Trust me, something will come out of this. Because that's what they do with Iron Man. That's what they do with Moon. That's what they do with all these movies. And it's like, just tell your story.
To me, I thought it was amazing.
Tell your story. Stop lingering on Sam Rockwell. And just.
Well, I will say this. About Moon is that, yeah, it's lingering on Sam Rockwell because he's the only one there, so it's the movie is about it.
I know, but I just meant, like, it just felt like, it felt, I don't want to get into, like, a whole Moon thing,
because right.
I could go on forever. I didn't like it. I thought it was just,
You didn't agree with it.
I didn't enjoy it. But anyway, going back to Terminator, okay. I don't know how we got into Sam Rockwell off Terminator, but T2 is an excellent film, and it's one of the best science fiction films ever made, and T3 sucks, I think. Can we agree on that?
I haven't seen it. The only thing I could say about T3 is like I feel like it should have been made far sooner than it did.
T3 should have been RoboCop versus Terminator.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. Also, T3 should have been made in the mid to late 90s. There's no reason they should have waited 11 years and still had Arnold. Mm-hmm. You know, why even bother, in my view? You know,
that's crazy, dude.
That's what I say. Nick Stahl apparently is not. I mean, he was great in Sin City. He hasn't done anything.
He's amazing, and that movie made him suck because they wrote John Connor so poorly and didn't give him really much to do except be a big giant pussy, and that was really all he had to do in the movie was I don't know what to do.
Right.
That was
Claire
like
Danes just shows
I was
up.
Like what, dude? I'm like even as Edward Furlong was annoying, but he was a kid that looked like he still knew how to use a gun. This guy, Nick Stahl, just became this giant vagina. And you're just like, what happened to you, dude? Like, where'd your training go?
All that military training while wearing a Public Enemy t-shirt.
Yeah.
And without T2, we wouldn't have sweated T2.
That's
right. Video is awesome.
Amazing, yeah.
Yes, where the guy with the Bobby hat is like, I'm from the future.
Yeah.
Oh, go look up Sweated T2. It's amazing.
The Sweated thing was based on Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah, and it was
for no money.
Yes.
And they were basically pieces of shit, but they were really funny. And there's a Sweated T2 on YouTube.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Utterly amazing. Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Amazing.
But wait, and then you were going to talk about Bruce Willis cologne before we sign off here.
Yes. Smelling like Bruce Willis. What are your thoughts?
Fuck Bruce Willis. I'm going on a rampage today. Fuck everyone.
You're going rogue.
It's 400 degrees in here. I'm sweating. I think I've got butt sweat. I don't know what's going on. We're going to have to hose down this chair after.
Yes.
I'm getting delirious here.
Yes.
And fuck Bruce Willis.
Oh, a celebrity cologne. And you know, he's also got hair care products, but he's bald.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's a hair care.
He hasn't had hair in like 10 years.
I know. But he's got hair care products. It's a little weird that way, but yeah. Smelling like Bruce Willis. Was there any actor that you would want to smell like?
Is there an actor I'd want to smell like?
Yeah.
James Bond. No, he's not an actor. Sorry, I fucked
character.
That up.
Which James Bond?
Wait, okay, so not James Bond, but Timothy Dalton. I'm sure he smells fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell, my dad kind of looks like Timothy Dalton. So
your dad
like,
does not look like Timothy Dalton.
God damn it.
He doesn't look anything like Timothy. Your dad looks like Elliot Gould.
You know, it's funny you said that, because my mom said the exact same thing, actually.
He does not look like Timothy Dalton.
I was watching Ocean's 11 on TV one day. He's like, hey, it looks like your father. It's like, oh, my God, you're right.
He does, man.
You're absolutely right. In terms of celebrity, Christ, I can't... you know what? I'm going to go on a limb. Bill Paxton.
That's right.
You'll smell like Lone Star and
you'll
ribs.
Smell like pure manliness.
Yes.
And awesomeness all combined into one.
I would definitely say smell like Bill Paxton. If not...
Second choice.
Shit. Damn. I'm really at a loss at the moment.
Mark Ruffalo.
Yes, there you go. I'll smell like Ruffalo. I'm sure Ruffalo is a very pleasant scent.
Yeah.
Very, you know, very laid back. I can go for that. It could be at the work. Work.
Now, was this a natural scent, like what he was supposed to smell like naturally, or was it just a cologne?
His cologne, because we know his natural scent would be B.O.
Yeah, so. That's what I mean. Like, is it B.O. in a bottle, or is it
No,
like...
it's supposed to be cologne.
Yeah, like, I smell like ass, but I smell like Bruce Willis' ass.
I just smell like he did in the last scene of Die Hard.
Yeah, exactly. I know the John McClane cologne would smell like oil
and dirt and
gunpowder
and Twinkies.
And Eurotrash blood.
Yes. A lot of which would smell great.
Yeah.
Yes. John McClane. That's it. He should have just made a John McClane cologne. Yeah. That would have worked wonders.
And it'd be like brown.
You know, yeah, it
would look like chocolate milk.
Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the other cologne would be great. Alec Baldwin.
You smell like an asshole.
Yeah, pretty. But you'd be a damn good asshole.
Would it look like? Would the container look like balls?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Brass balls.
Yeah.
It would come in a container of brass. You'd be a suave pair of brass balls.
That's right.
And I think that.
I wish they could make it so that when you sprayed the cologne, the bottle would say phrases from Glengarry Glen Ross.
That would be bad.
Maybe actually. Throughout his movie, like all of his movies, but the ones specifically from Glengarry Glen Ross.
Right.
Like you, so you gotta spray it on you, and it says "fuck you." That's my name.
Exactly. Oh yes. So yeah, I think we should really have an Alec Baldwin cologne and personal grooming.
Alec Baldwin, I know you're listening.
Yes.
Make it happen.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, he's the head of NBC. He should be able to.
That's right.
Absolutely. And with that, because we're about to go into heat stroke, I think with that, we're going to sign off for the day. So all for right. that, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
And this is Randall.
Keep it classy. We could flood the streets with love.